Welcome back. I'm John Papa. This is Dan Wallin, and we're here to talk about Module 1 again, and the exercise is number 2.
Number 2.
So we went through number 1, we explored the Windows Forms application, and now we're going to talk about how do you create the Servlet application and hook that into the existing code base that we just examined, right?
Exactly. So in exercise 1, we walked through an interface similar to this, and what we're going to do now is talk about how we can create a Servlet project and really recreate this in Servlet and show some of the different tricks you can do here and there as needed.
Because there's a little bit of differences when you're coding for WinForms from Servlet, not in the code itself, but sometimes in the visual interface.
Yes, you know, sometimes a control you might be used to in Windows Forms, depending on what it is. I mean, standard ones, combo box, button, text box, of course, are there, but group box, as an example, is not.
No such thing in Servlet.
No such thing. So we'll talk about how you can easily fake that.
Okay.
All right, so to get started, I'm going to go ahead and we'll just right-click on our solution here, and we want to add in a new project, and I'm going to add it right into the solution because I want to reuse that model and the service that we talked about in exercise 1.
And that's key here. We're actually going to reuse it. We're not going to copy code or link to it. We're actually going to reuse the same exact model.
Same exact stuff's going to be used. So I'm going to call this Servlet Customer Viewer to be really obvious on what it is.
Right, and that's the same we do in the lab, I believe.
It is, and we're going to just do a Servlet application. In this particular very simple line of business app, we just have one screen. This one's great. If we had multiple screens, as you know, we could certainly do a navigation application, or if we wanted to tie in WCF Ria services, which is coming up in a later lab, we could even do a business app.
Right, and we could do Servlet applications, still have multiple screens, just out of the box, there's no support, so we could have to add our own navigation to it, whereas this one gives you the navigation built into it.
Exactly. A lot easier. Yep. But for this one, we're going to kind of keep it as, hey, the boss wants one screen.
Right.
So we'll do one. So we'll hit OK. And this will go ahead and now prompt me where do I want to host or what do I want to host for the project. And you'll notice that because I already had some web projects down below, it's already given me a new web project name for this one. But we're going to host our customer service here. And we want to do a new or existing website. Well, we can actually come to the web, and that's our project. I won't be able to scroll down, of course, right now, but that's the one down at the bottom that I didn't actually show earlier. Now, we can go ahead and select the existing one, or we can have it do a new one. You know, either way, it's
so the customer viewer web is a web project, and then the customer service one is the web project with the web services in them, the WCF services.
Right, that's right.
Or you can create a brand new one.
Or you can create a brand new one. So we'll go ahead and just reuse the web here. We're going to do Servlet 4, although it does do multi-targeting, which is very nice. And then we're going to have it add a test page for, hey, we got to have some way to host this Servlet control.
Right.
Which the reason you want to do that is, let's take just a sec to go into that, is you can actually build, as you know, Servlet apps and just run it directly from the Servlet project. But as soon as you try to do any network access, that doesn't work so well. So that's why you normally will want a host web project.
Right.
So let's go ahead and we'll hit OK there.
And that's how you're going to run it in real life anyways, inside of some kind of web page.
Exactly. All right, so the Servlet Customer Viewer is this project now. So we have our Windows Forms, and ultimately we want to convert that, although we're going to go with more of a kind of white kind of web background for the Servlet, but we could do gray if we wanted. And we want to do that here. Now in the lab exercise, it'll have you guys actually drag on a bunch of controls, several different ones that literally look like this. You'll drag on the text boxes, the combo box, and the buttons. I know, John, you wanted to see me do that, but I kind of overrode and said,
one by one, yes, please.
Yes, one by one. So we're not going to do that, but what we are going to do is, I already have this in my clipboard, so I'm just going to replace the grid right here, and we'll paste what I have, which apparently I... Yeah, there we go.
There it is.
Say, apparently I don't have it, but there it is. All right, so now you can see we have some XAML tags here. And for those that are coming from Windows Forms background, this is how we do the UI. The good news is you don't have to be a master of XAML, because in Visual Studio 2010, we now have the ability to just switch to design view. And so you can see we have a nice little design view. Now, it doesn't fit so well, so I'm going to go back into the XAML. And let's go ahead and I'm going to change the design height here to around 545, 550, something like that. It won't really matter. In the lab, it'll give you the exact one.
And for those interested there, the D colon means these design heights and widths are really just for the designer. They're not
exactly
runtime sizes.
In fact, before I add the other ones, you can see now we can see the whole thing.
Right.
Which, when you first start this, is maybe not the easiest to know if you didn't, like you said, know what that D thing was. Okay, the other thing I'm going to do is at runtime, we're going to say that exact height and width, but obviously we don't want design height, so we'll just do a height of around 545-ish and a width of, say, 550. Now, by default, if you don't put a height and width, it's going to take up the whole container, which would mean the whole browser,
right,
if it's an in-browser app. So in this case, we're going to say that, you know, just based on how our controls lay out, that's as big as we want to go. So that it looks,
and you can set these to the properties pane as well if you wanted to.
Absolutely. Yep. You can always right click, go over to our properties, and there we go. We can come into here for our, this is our layout route, and we can even go up to the other. So
to the user control. Yeah, sure.
You can get to that right down here in the breadcrumb trail. Or another trick, if you want to be able to navigate around, is you can right click and go to document outline.
And I use that quite a bit. That's nice to be able to look at what's inside of what, especially when you have grids. That grid is actually not a data grid. It's a grid. It's a layout container, which has rows and columns. So you can see what's inside of that grid.
Exactly. And I agree. I use that quite a bit as well. So if we go back into our user control. So a user control represents a container, whether it's a full window or just part of a control. And so what we're doing here is saying, hey, we have a window, if you will, that we want to put some stuff in. As you just pointed out, the grid is really like a way to just lay out rows and columns.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't put any rows or columns, it's just going to automatically put every one row, one column. Now, this one, because it's kind of getting you started with Silverlight Lab, uses margins to position your different controls. Some of the other labs, you're going to see that we can do grids with rows and columns and all that fun stuff. So
we could lay these out in rows, but in this particular lab, we didn't. We just said go down a margin of however far off the top and far off the left.
That's right. And you can see the little arrow there on the screen. If I go to properties and we go down to the margin or up to the margin here.
Margins, yeah.
You can see we have the margin. Now, I generally don't, in a real app, I'm not a big fan of margin for positioning. Because as you know, it's a lot harder as your resolutions change,
sure,
and all that to make it look good. But it's a good way to get started.
Sure.
Okay, so a couple things. We have standard combo box control, very similar to what you do in Windows Forms. We also have what kind of looks like a group box. And I put a black background on this, but you certainly don't have to. It could do more light gray, kind of like you see with the group box here.
Right.
But this is just a rectangle. And then we positioned a border control, which a border allows you to contain a single child in it and do something with it. And then this is a text block. And a text block for Windows Forms developers, the most analogous thing would be the label. And very easy to use, just displays basic text. Other than that, it's pretty self-explanatory. You can see that in the XAML, when I pasted that in, we have some text boxes and some buttons. And so what's nice about it is with XAML versus writing this in code, it's really easy if you do want to make tweaks. You know, I'm a huge fan of different languages, C#, VB, and all those, mm-hmm, and everything. But I will say, having done this for a long time now, is this is a lot more productive,
right,
for tweaking things. The other thing that's really nice, and I've kind of already shown this, is in Visual Studio, we can now very easily get to our properties. And one of the things I want to point out that when you're new to it, it's not so obvious sometimes, is names of controls. If you right-click on a control and go to properties, you'll notice if you're doing Windows Forms, you're going to be scrolling through here all day.
Looking going, for the name property.
Where's the ID? Where's the name? I don't see it. It's actually always right there, which I really like,
yep,
once you get used to it. The final thing that's really nice is something I wished some of the other frameworks we have in .NET had as well, which is the ability to filter by property. So, you know, I did height and width earlier. Had I just come in like that and type WI, it automatically filters it down for me, which is very nice, especially when you're working with a control that has just tons of properties.
Especially something like alignment. Sometimes there's multiple properties that have the word alignment in it, horizontal alignment, content alignment.
If you're like me, you can't remember which is which sometimes,
yep,
and this will show you all of them.
Yeah, it makes it a lot easier. And it's all partial matching. It's not just the beginning of the word.
Yep. And there's much, much more we can do in the designer, but in exercise two, that's what people walk through, and they're going to create this user interface.
Great. So we'll hook it up to something else in the next exercise.
Yep, we're going to hook it up to the WCF service.
All right. Well, thanks, and I hope you come back for that version.